Let's read Doohickey and the Robot. Chapter 1. Doohickey had just moved to a new town when he spotted a notice. It was stuck outside a big house at the end of his street. Professor Sick's young assistant to help with exciting experiments and interesting inventions. Please ring the bell. The notice had been up for over a year, but Doohickey was the first person to ask about it.
Come on up, said the professor. His head disappeared. A moment later, the front door sprang half open.
Doohickey peered inside. A huge mountain of posts had stopped the door from opening properly, but there was no one there. Doohickey felt sure that the door had opened for him, so he squeezed through into the hallway. A buzzer sounded in Doohickey's ear. He was surprised to see a little airship bobbing in the hallway beside him. Tiny propellers spun the ship around. Doohickey saw the words, "Follow me," written in big red letters on its side. Chapter 2. He followed the ship up a tall, winding staircase. He passed room after room, stuffed full of strange-looking machines. Were they the professor's inventions? Doohickey knew that he was supposed to go straight up the stairs, but he couldn't help himself. He propped into one of the rooms to take a closer look. The first thing Doohickey came across was a computer screen fixed to a huge metal cage. The cage seemed to be stuffed full of straw. Doohickey pushed his hand into it. Ouch! He squealed, pulling it out again. A tiny needle was sticking out of his thumb. There was a label fixed to the computer screen. The X-ray grassograph for finding a needle in a haystack.
Well, it didn't find this one, said Doohickey crossly as he stuck the needle back into the straw.
The next machine had lots of electric fans fixed beneath a large metal funnel. There was sand all over the floor. The label said, "The pneumatic photo fabricator for building sand castles in the air."
This looks like fun, thought Doohickey.
He switched it on. Sand began trickling out of the funnel and the fans started spinning. Then the strangest thing happened. The sand didn't fall on the floor. It hung in the air. And slowly it shaped itself into a floating castle. Doohickey walked slowly around the machine. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. Then, all of a sudden, he bumped into someone else. When he saw who it was, he nearly jumped out of his skin. The other person was him! It was like looking in a mirror, except that there was no glass. Doohickey reached out his hand and the other Doohickey did the same. Their fingers met in mid-air and he felt the warmth of his own hand pressing back. It was too creepy. Shivered Doohickey. He stepped backwards straight into the floating sand castle. The castle exploded and Doohickey found himself in the middle of a sandstorm. Sand blew everywhere into his eyes and up his nose. Coughing and sneezing, he grabbed his way back to the switch and turned it off. The sandstorm disappeared, and so had the other Doohickey. Then Doohickey noticed a large metal plate on the floor. There was another label on it.
Of course, sighed Doohickey.
The metal plate was another of the professor's invention. It had made the other Doohickey appear when he had stepped onto it.
I won't try that again, he thought. It's a bit too spooky.
A buzzer sounded. Doohickey saw the airship bobbing up and down in the doorway. It had come back to find him.
I got lost, said Doohickey.
He couldn't think of a better excuse. The ship buzzed again crossly and glided back towards the stairs.
Coming, said Doohickey.
Chapter 3. They reached the top of the house. The airship led Doiki into a smoky attic. It was stuffed full of books, test tubes, and lumps of tangled wiring. A small shaggy dog peered out at him from beneath a workbench. A cat lay sunning itself on the windowsill.
What kept you?
asked the professor. He was hunched over a heap of metal in one corner.
I was admiring some of your inventions, said Doiki.
Oh, those old things, said the professor. This, he said, pointing to the twisted heap of metal, is my latest and greatest invention.
What is it?asked Doiki.
It didn't look very exciting. He expected that it was a machine for getting blood from stone or for making omelets without breaking eggs.
It's the Robofin 2000 multipurpose robot, said the professor proudly.
What does it do? Asked Doiki.
Absolutely anything,said the professor. Let me show you.
The professor scribbled some words onto a scrap of paper. He fed the paper through the slot in the robot's chest. Then he pressed a big button and stepped back. The robot hummed and whirred for a bit. Then it climbed slowly to its feet. It was enormous. Its head almost scraped the attic ceiling. The lights on the robot's face flickered on and off. It looked as if it was thinking about something. And then it painted a picture of the professor's dog. It played a piece of music on the test tubes.And it discovered 3 new ways of splitting the atom.
Pretty good, huh?
Said the professor when the robot had finished.
Cool, said Doiki.
He was really amazed. The huge heavy robot had whizzed around the attic and it hadn't disturbed so much as paperclip.
It can do anything I ask it to, said the professor.
Anything? Asked Doiki.
Absolutely, said the professor.
Can I have a go? Asked Doiki, who wanted to ask the robot to build a space rocket or tell him next week's winning lottery numbers.
Absolutely not, said the professor.
It's far too complicated. Besides,
I've got better things for you to do.
Such as? Said Doiki, who was disappointed.
Such as these, said the professor, writing out a list. What month is it, by the way?
August, said Doiki.
Summer, already? Said the professor. He looked surprised. I must go out and pay my bills.
He handed Doiki the list of jobs.
I'll be gone for the rest of the day, he said, rushing out of the door. So these jobs should be finished by the time I get back.
If you can't find anything, ask Newton.
Who's Newton?
Shouted Doiki as the professor swept down the stairs.
I am, said the dog.
You can talk, said Doiki, staring at the dog.
How clever of you to notice, said Newton.
And the cat? Asked Doiki, looking at the other animal. Can the cat talk too?
Of course not, scoffed Newton. It's only a cat.
Doiki didn't know what to say to this, so he looked at the list of jobs the professor had given him.
These jobs are all boring, said Doiki. This notice said I'd be helping with exciting experiments and interesting inventions.
Of course it did, said Newton. Otherwise, you wouldn't have wanted the job.
Well, I don't want the job, said Doiki. I don't want to cook and clean all day.
He tore up the list and threw it into a bin.
I'm off, he said.
Suit yourself, said Newton.
Chapter 4. Doiki went back down the winding staircase past the rooms full of inventions.
Look at all these silly machines, he thought. Why doesn't the professor invent something useful? Something that could do the housework? Then he had a brainwave. Of course!He said. He set up upstairs again.
Back so soon? Said Newton.
I
thought you didn't want the job.
I didn't, said Doiki. But I've had a brainwave.
Oh, we get lots of them around here, said the dog, yawning.
Doogie picked the list out of the bin. He stuck it back together with some sticky tape.
How does that look?
He asked, showing it to Newton. Newton started the list.
It looks okay to me, he said.
Now for the clever bit, said Doogie.
He climbed on top of a stool and fed the stuck together list through the slot in the robot's chest.
Oh, dear, said Newton, shaking his head. The professor isn't going to like this.
The professor isn't going to find out, said Doogie.
He hit the big button. The robot hummed a word and then straightened itself up.
All end in tears,
sighed Newton. The lights on the robot's face flickered on and off for a few minutes, and then it stomped out of the attic.
Piece of cake, said Doogie, grinning. Now, where can I take a nap?
The robot stomped down the stairs and into the professor's bathroom. It grabbed a great armful of dirty clothes. Then it carried them down to the kitchen. But instead of putting them into the washing machine, it stuffed them into the oven. Next, it took some meat and vegetables out of the fridge. It chopped and sliced them to make a delicious stew. Then it emptied the whole lot into the washing machine. After that, it brought the lawnmower into the house and ran it over the whole carpet. And it took the Hoover outside and sucked the leaves off the lawn. Chapter 5. The professor's neighbors were used to strange things going on at his house, but they had never seen anything quite like the robot.
You think it? What do you think? It's up to...
asked one of them. The robot had just fetched a hammer and nails. It was now nailing up the front door.
Perhaps the professor's gone away, suggested another, and is afraid that someone will try and break in.
The robot didn't seem to mind that everyone was looking at it. Propped the ladder up against the side of the house. Then it climbed to the top and began to brush bright green paint all over the roof. Newton was half asleep when the robot stomped into the attic carrying a watering can.
The pot plants are in the living room, said the dog helpfully.
The huge machine lumbered towards him.
I should have known something would go wrong,
he sighed as the robot emptied the watering can over his head. Doogie was still fast asleep on the professor's bed.
Wake up, barked Newton.
Taking his wet fur in the boy's face.
What's wrong?
Yawned Doogie, rubbing his eyes.
Oh, just about everything, said Newton.
What's happened? Asked Doogie.
The robot's gone mad, said Newton. Last time I saw it, it was pulling up the pot plants. I told you it would all end in tears.
After 6, they ran downstairs to the hall. The carpet was covered in shredded paper.
What's happened here?
Asked Doogie, who looked dazed. Newton held up a scrap of paper with a postage stamp stuck to it.
The professor's letters, he said.
But it looks like they've been through a shredder, said Doogie.
Or a lawnmower, suggested Newton.
In the kitchen, they found the dirty clothes burning in the oven and the stew churning around inside the washing machine.
Don't understand, groaned Doogie. What went wrong?
The robot seems to have got the jobs mixed up, said Newton.
But how? Said Doogie. You saw the list that I gave it. You said it was okay.
Said it looked okay, said Newton. But I didn't read it.
Why not?
Well, Doogie, the dog looked uncomfortable.
You can read, can't you?
Asked Doogie.
Of course not, said Newton. I'm only a dog.
Just then, the robot stomped in through the back door. It was trailing a bunch of bedraggled pot plants behind it. Having taken the plants for a walk, the robot dragged the plants through to the living room and dropped them back into their pots.
Stop at once, commanded Doiki, standing in front of it, but the robot burged straight past him into the kitchen.
Fitting the picture, said Newton.
But it's supposed to hang the picture, said Doiki, trying to remember the professor's list.
And feed the cat, finished Newton.
So that means that next it will try to... Oh, no!
Wailed Doiki as the robot set off towards the sleeping cat.
Chapter 7. The professor knew that there was something wrong when he saw the crowd of people standing outside his house. He knew that something was terribly wrong when he saw the green paint dripping from his roof and heard the cat screeching in the attic. He bounded up to the front door and found that it was nailed shut.
He rushed around the back of the house and in the back door. He could smell something burning, but he didn't stop to find out what. He ran straight up the stairs 3 steps at a time and burst into the attic. The attic was a nightmare. The robot was lurching around the room with the length of electric cable. It was trying to catch the cat. Luckily, the terrified cat was staying one leap ahead of it. Between the two of them, they had managed to knock over most of the professor's equipment.
Wiki was jumping up and down in front of the robot trying to hit the buttons on its chest. Newton was sitting on a tall cupboard enjoying the show.
Without saying a word, the professor strode across the room and hit the big button on the robot's chest. The robot stopped chasing the cat, let out a little sigh, and toppled over. A scrap of paper rolled out of the slot in its chest. The professor snatched up the paper and looked at it.
"Who is responsible for this?" he said quietly.
"Don't look at me," said Newton. "I'm only a dog."
"Doiki," said the professor.
"I was just..."
Panted Doiki. The professor gave Doiki a hard stare.
"You see, I just thought that..."
Doiki tried to explain. The professor gave Doiki an even harder stare.
"It was all my fault," said Doiki.
"Absolutely," agreed the professor. Doiki gazed around the attic. It had been untidy to start with, but that was nothing to how it looked now. The professor was giving him another hard stare.
"Oh," said Doiki slowly, "I suppose you want me to clear up all this mess?"
"Absolutely," repeated the professor.
"Righto," said Doiki. "I'd better get on with it."
It would take hours to tidy up on his own. He looked around for Newton, but the dog had vanished.
"I don't suppose," he said carefully, looking at the professor, "I could use the robot to..."
"Absolutely not," shouted the professor.
I love this story. I hope you enjoyed it.